And thank you, Alex. And it's good to be here today. Let me put this down real quick. There we go. Well, it's good to be here at East Charlotte Presbyterian, and great to see some familiar faces out there as well. And I'm excited what God's going to do today. What an amazing service already that we've had the opportunity to worship Him, and now we can continue by opening His Word and then participate in the Lord's Supper as well. And, you know, I might be distracted a little bit. I see a young man with a Duke shirt on up here, and I'm a big Tar Heel fan. It was a rough night last night. Yes, congrats to the Duke Blue Devils for a good win. We'll talk about sports in a little bit. I connect that into one of my points, but it's great to be with you today. And I'm thankful for Pastor Tyler and asking me to come and to share. Certainly, there's definitely a culture of adoption here, and you don't see that everywhere. You know, I was talking with Justin, one of our board members as well, who goes here, Justin and Kelly, and I've been with CAS now for 2 years, and I've preached, I was counting them up, I was like, how many churches have I been in 2 years? And it's been 43 churches, so y'all are number 43 that I've spoken, preached at in the last 2 years, and I can tell you there's some of the churches, big, small, you know, I preached at a church running about 10 people, my very first church, that's where I cut my teeth on of this sermon. I kind of feel like an evangelist a little bit today because I go around kind of preaching what they call a sugar stick sermon. And, this is my number one. I've got trusty Rusty today. But I've got, our church has been inviting me back. And so I've had to come up with a couple of more sermons now. So that's been great when they invite me back to come and to share. But I'm thankful for your pastor and his wife and family. Of course, they adopted recently through Christian Adoption Services. We were able to help them, and, little Winston now, he's like not old, like three. How old is he? Three. Wow, three, and been here like 4 months, 3 or 4 months, 3 months now. Yeah, so what a blessing. And, of course, Justin, some of you know Justin, probably the most healthiest, fittest guy in this room, right? He runs like crazy, does F3, and I can't, you know, those guys, you know, they're my heroes, I guess. And but I'm thankful for Justin. Justin's on our board. He was one of the board members that brought me in at CES 2 years ago. And I remember the first time I met Justin. This is class. If you know Justin, this is his classic. So Justin said, as they were interviewing me, this was in the interview process. Hadn't been, you know, offered the job yet, and I hadn't accepted it. And I met him for breakfast. He invited me to breakfast, and we went to breakfast, went in, there he was sitting in the corner, and we started talking, and it was just neat. We just started connecting, and he said, now, Kevin, let me be honest with you. He said, I've been through this. I've been a board member for the last, I guess, 2 years then, at that point, almost 2 years, and he said to this, I remember very clearly, he said, Kevin, I promise you, if you're feeling led by the Lord to run a nonprofit, there are a lot easier nonprofits to run than this one. And I was like, okay, and you are a prophet, my friend, all right? There's a lot going on there, but God is blessed. I tell you, I wouldn't trade places, anything in the world. As Tyler mentioned, I am a pastor, so that's, I'm a PK. I grew up, my dad's a pastor, retired from Apex Baptist Church up in Raleigh, so I'm a Southern Baptist guy, and, but I've been in pastoral ministry for 22 years. And so before coming on at CAS, I was a pastor in North and South Carolina. And then most recently, the last 10 years, what brought me to Charlotte was I was a campus pastor at First Baptist Indian Trail and was there 5.5 years preaching every week. And then the Lord called me to Uptown Charlotte, and I was at First Baptist Charlotte, right in the middle of Uptown, downtown. And I was there as an associate pastor for 4 years. And then that's how, and then the Lord brought this connection. Someone on the board knew me from seminary way back, and all that came together. And, you know, I won't bore you with that long story, but at the end of the day, the call of God, it was the call of God to leave pastoral church ministry and to come pastor this ministry. And so it was a huge, huge step of faith. I tell you, big time different. It's a little different than being in church ministry, but I tell you, God's blessed. And it's so rewarding on my side to fulfill our mission of connecting vulnerable children with Christian families. And so God is blessed, and I'm thankful for what God is doing through this ministry and this church, and just a young church, really, 3 years, to see what God is doing. I hear so much about it through Tyler and especially Justin that we get to hang out as well. So thank you for being here today. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Now, if you don't have a Bible, we have some folks that will bring you a Bible, all right? So just raise your hand. Some young folks will bring some Bibles, I believe, to you. But if you can look on your smartphones as well. But Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to be looking at four verses this morning, four verses found in verses 3 through 6. Today's message is entitled, I see a few hands, thank you, young man. Get those Bibles out. Yes, perfect. Ephesians 1, 3 through 6, we're going to be talking about this theme of adopted, what it means to be adopted into the kingdom. Adopted in the kingdom. And you have some notes there in your worship guide, your bulletin. You can take some notes and follow along today and perhaps this week as you're spending some time studying in a quiet time. Hopefully you can reflect on some of these truths that we're going to talk about in our time together today. But Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 6, let's read this. The Bible says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved." May God bless the reading of his word this morning. We're going to break this down into three truths that you can, they're already in your worship guide there for you to follow along. But three truths we're going to share. And let's break these down one by one and look at the verses of the scripture that supports these truths. And hopefully the goal of today is that you will leave here challenged and changed by the Holy Spirit of God. This scripture that I just read is one that I've studied many, many times before. Again, I went to seminary back in the 90s, all right? Been a pastor all this time. But when I came on board at CAS 2 years ago, this scripture just kind of blew up in my face. I was like, wow. I mean, I understood it, but it took it to a whole nother level. And I hope today as we look at this text, the Holy Spirit will help you think about this truth in a way maybe you never thought about before, all right? And so let's look at this. Let's dig deeper into this text and look at the first truth. The first truth is this, as we look at Ephesians 1, number 1, that we are all spiritually blessed through Christ. We're spiritually blessed through Christ. Now, let's look at that truth again and found in verse 3. In just one verse, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is what? Blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." I remember when I was in seminary years ago, there was a professor, we were studying the Bible, and he said this truth to me, and it stuck with me all these years. And if you see a word or words used in a very, you know, short time in the Bible, like just a couple of verses, that the Lord is trying to get your attention. Light bulb moment, pay attention. God's trying to get your attention. And so look at that verse in that context again in verse 3. You're going to see one word basically used three times in one verse. Y'all catch that? Look at it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Blessed us with every what? Spiritual blessing. All right, so pay attention. What is God trying to communicate there to us? Well, let's go back to the truth. We're all spiritually blessed. If you have a relationship with Christ, you've been spiritually blessed because of what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross and was resurrected 2,000 years ago. We've been blessed through Christ. But that's a word, I think, that we confuse a little bit today. If we were to go around the room today and we would just have a testimony moment and we asked the question, how have you been blessed? Think about that for a second. How have you been blessed? Well, a lot of us would have a lot of different answers, wouldn't we? I mean, you'd go around the room. It could be like this. I'm blessed with a wonderful family, wonderful children, a godly wife, a godly husband, good health, right? A good job. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on and on. But what the Lord is trying to remind us here is, yes, those are great, but the biggest blessing that any of us could ever receive is a blessing of a relationship with Jesus Christ, period. Now, that sometimes that gets mixed up a little bit, but we need to be reminded, and the Lord is reminding us here, that the biggest blessing that we could ever receive is a blessing of a relationship with Jesus Christ. We are a blessed people. We are a blessed people. But the reason that we are blessed the most is because of what was accomplished through the life and death of Jesus Christ. Because ultimately that blessing does what for us? The blessing of a relationship with Jesus Christ brings us into right relationship with him here. But ultimately when we breathe our last, right, We get the blessing of being with God forever in heaven. So that blessing never stops. It never stops. And so may we be reminded of that through the ups and downs of life. You know, a lot of us, we go through difficult times. And some of you may be in a difficult season right now. I call them seasons of life, right? We all go through it. And the older you get, the more you know, I'm 46 years old. I can reflect a little bit now and think that life doesn't necessarily go the way you think it's going to go, does it? I mean, it doesn't. And there are ups and downs with that. And for some of you here today, you may be struggling. And the Lord reminded me, you know, 2017 was a very difficult year in our family. I have a younger sister. We've had a great family, just growing up, great Christian family. And my mom passed away last year at 67 from about an 8-month battle with cancer. That was tough, 2017. And then my dad, 8 months later, was diagnosed with a inoperable brain tumor. I'm like, where's all this coming from? He's 72 years old, you know. And so 2017 was a very difficult year. But in the middle of all that, God reminds me that I am blessed and that we are blessed. And no matter what we are going through, whatever is thrown at us, God wants us to remember and be reminded of our hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. So just be reminded of that. Whatever you may be going through, something may be coming you're not even aware of that's going to happen. But be grounded in your faith and be reminded of the assurances in this verse of how we are all blessed beyond blessing. Now let's look at the second truth. And we find that in verse 4. But here's the second truth. It's there in your worship guide. But so not only are we spiritually blessed through Christ, but through love, God made a choice to redeem us. Through love, God made a choice to redeem us. Check out verse 4. It goes on to say, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. In love. You know, when we go back to Theology 101, the Bible tells us what? That God is what? Love. Right? God is love. And it's hard for us really to understand that. It's hard for us to really grasp that. In the Bible, God doesn't just talk about love. I mean, he talks about it a lot in the Bible, but God doesn't just talk about it. He demonstrated it, right? See, there's a lot of people out there that talk a good game about different things, but they don't back it up. Well, God backs it up because in Romans it tells us that God demonstrated his love for us by doing what? By sending his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for you and for me. And I believe if we were the only people on planet Earth right now, just this room, that God still would have sent his son Jesus to die for you and me. That's how much he loves you and me. It's amazing love. It's an incredible love when you think about that. And love is one of those words I think that we mix up today too. How many of y'all use that word a little loosely? For example, how many of you have used the word, I love a certain type of food? Anybody ever said that? Yeah. I'm a big ribeye fan, by the way, all right? You know, I love ribeye. So I think we've probably used that. How many of you said it about a sports team? Yeah, I knew he'd have to raise his hand on the front row there. Yeah, I mean, so, and I'm a big Tar Heel guy. Now, last year we won the national championship. It was great, right? New year, going at it, trying to repeat. But, I think a lot of us have said we love our sports teams, right? Like, have we said that before? We've loved the Panthers, for example, or we love, you know, our college basketball or baseball's coming up. I love baseball. You know, so there are teams we probably said I love them before. And the Lord wants to remind us here that, we really probably don't love them as the Bible talks about what unconditional love looks like, you know, and how much he loves you and me. And God definitely has a sense of humor. I promise you this. Let me give you a quick story. This is funny. And so as I have three teenagers, all right, biological children, three biological teenagers. And if you have teenagers, you know we need to be praying for one another, right? You know, the driving thing, just all the stuff's going on. Prom. Prom has gotten crazy, by the way. I don't know if y'all have teenagers. Promposals, have y'all heard of that? My son's a junior. He did a promposal. I'm like, what in the world's going on with these teenagers? You know, everything's funny. But I have a daughter that's in college, two in high school. So my daughter's oldest, Emma, two junior and sophomore at Metrolina Christian right down the road. And college is stressful, trying to figure out colleges. I mean, just helping your children figure that out. And so my daughter, we walked through this whole thing. You know, it's pressure, by the way. SAT, ACT, the financial side of college. Oh my gosh. I mean, it's just stressful. And so it was our first time walking through this. And so we walked through that and you try to find that delicate balance as a parent, you know, where you don't want to tell them they have to go here, right? But you're going to want them to figure it out and financially figuring it out. And so there were a lot of different schools that Emma was looking at. Liberty, you know, up in Virginia was like up there. And then things changed, you know. Then it was like Anderson down in South Carolina. And then some of the state schools got involved. And so at the end of the day, so I tell you, God has a sense of humor because I told you I'm a big Tar Heel fan. Guess where my daughter is at school right now? Not Duke. Yeah, NC State. I don't even know how to do that, all right? Something like that, the Wolfpack. Yes, my daughter is a freshman at NC State. I can tell you God has a sense of humor, all right? And I guess I have to pull for him. When you're writing checks to the school, you got to pull for him a little bit when it comes to that. But as you come back to this truth for a moment, we have strong likes that are out there. But when it comes down to understanding the depth of God's love, I don't think we can understand it completely here on this planet Earth because of the sin nature that we do carry with us, even though we're redeemed as Christ followers, is that when we get to heaven, we're going to understand that unconditional love that God has for us. That love that means I love you no matter what. That's a strong statement. Because most of us, at very various times in our lives, we're unlovable. I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, there are things we do, you know, God sees us at our worst, but he loves us anyway. That unconditional love that God bestows upon us, no matter what you do. Let me put it this way. It's kind of like this. There's nothing, and this is a great truth to remember, because I think the evil one tries to bring guilt in our lives, and false guilt, especially for things we've done in our past that we're not proud of, that we've asked forgiveness of. But here's the truth that we need to carry with us. And be reminded of, there is nothing you could ever do to make God love you less. Now think about that. There's nothing you've ever done. There's nothing you would do today or did yesterday. There's nothing you'll do in the future to make God love you less. Now that's an incredible truth for us to grasp a hold of, because that means that as long as I've asked forgiveness for those sins and repentant, then they're never going to be mentioned again. But the evil one does a great job of reminding us why we're unworthy. Gets in our head a little bit. Says, well, you can't witness because you did that, whatever that was. But if you've asked forgiveness, it's gone. Gone forever. And we need to be reminded of that truth. Now, that doesn't give us a license to go do whatever we want. All right, don't take that to, oh, well, God loves me, it doesn't matter what I do. It does matter. There are consequences to bad choices. But there's nothing you could ever do to make God love you less. And that's a tremendous truth for us to remember going forward, especially when the evil one tries to bring false guilt in our lives to say, get behind me, Satan, because of the love of Christ, and I've asked forgiveness for that sin. So through love, God made an amazing choice, and it was an amazing choice to redeem us. Now, let's look at the third and final truth, and we see this in verses 5 through 6. You can follow in your notes there, but as a Christ follower, if you're saved today, the truth of what the next couple of verses say is that we've been adopted by Jesus into the kingdom. Now think about that for a moment. We've been adopted. Here's what the Bible says, that we've been adopted by Jesus into the kingdom of heaven. Look at verses 5. Having predestined us to, there's that word, adoption, as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. The truth of what verse 5 tells us is that you and I, if we're a Christ follower, we've been adopted by God into the kingdom. That's pretty awesome. Let me tell you what that looks like. Let's bring that down to a child's level. God is our Father. We are his children. We don't deserve to go to heaven. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, right? Thank goodness it didn't end there, right? There's a part B. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God is our Father. We are his children. He adopted us. He brought us into right relationship so that we could be in heaven with him. That's the truth of what it means to be adopted. We don't deserve to be there, but God adopted us. He loved us that much that he adopted us. Despite all our failures, he adopted us into his kingdom. Now, that's an amazing truth for you to leave here with today, but we don't stop there. Because over in James 1:27, mark that down. You can look at it a little bit later. But what James 1:27 says, it says that we as God's people, okay, we as Christ followers, our duty is to care for those who can't care for themselves. Have y'all seen this verse before? James 1:27 says, our duty is to care for widows and orphans, is what it says. Okay? So back up a second. Because when you connect all that together, man, it's an amazing truth for you to walk out of here. Because God is my Father, I am His child, I've been adopted into the kingdom, right? I'm going to heaven because of what was accomplished through Jesus Christ. I've been adopted because I've been adopted. And then what God tells me, my responsibility as a Christ follower is to be involved and help those vulnerable children, to care for vulnerable children here and all over the world. That is my responsibility. Now, what that means is it doesn't mean everybody in here is called to adopt. Some of you are getting nervous. You're like, where is he taking this? All right. All right. I'm too old. I got enough kids or whatever. Right. But here's what it means. It means that all of us are to be involved in this issue. It's an action issue for the church. It's an action. Why? Because God is my Father. What it says in Ephesians 1, because God's my Father, I've been adopted by Him. And because of what God says in James 1:27, to care for vulnerable children, which is a mandate of God for us to be involved, it's a call to action by God's people. And you may say, well, it's not that big of a deal, right? There's people doing it. Well, it's a big deal. Let me tell you why. In our world today, there are 163 million orphans worldwide. Wrap your mind on that. It's a big number. 163 million orphans worldwide today. And I'm convicted, and I believe that the church is the answer. And if the church doesn't stand up, who is? It's a big deal. Big deal. And so it's a call to action for us to say, how am I to be involved in this? What is God calling me to do to be involved in this issue? You know, I believe adoption is both gospel, it's the gospel, and action. And when we understand that truth, God calls us to be involved in this action in some way. And you got to figure out what that is. Now, let me share a couple of stories with you. Just a couple of real-time stories, and then one story just of kind of situations that we deal with. Because I believe, you know, one of the biggest action steps, number one, that all of us can take, and the biggest need, I'll go around North and South Carolina. We just became licensed in South Carolina, and so I'm preaching down there as well. And I get this question a lot. What is the biggest need of Christian adoption services? What's the biggest need? Well, number one, and this goes to the point I'm talking about now, is prayer. The evil one hates what we stand for. Absolutely hates what we stand for. And so I believe in spiritual warfare. I know your pastor believes in spiritual warfare. We've seen spiritual warfare. But I'm seeing spiritual warfare more today than I ever did as 22 years as a pastor in a church, because the evil one hates what we stand up for. Because our mission is this, to build God's kingdom by connecting vulnerable children with Christian families. Boom. Very crystal clear. All 25 employees all across North and South Carolina, most are part-time. But they believe in that mission and they live out that mission. To build God's kingdom by connecting vulnerable children with Christian families. Because we believe that if we can take a child that's in a difficult situation spiritually, physically, place in a Christian home, it ups the likelihood of that child coming to know Christ. No guarantees, but it ups the likelihood of that child coming to know Christ. So at the end of the day, we're talking about heaven versus hell, possibly, in many of these children's lives. And so we fulfill that mission in three ways. One, we only work with Christian families. Okay? We only work with Christian families. Two, as I said about the children, we believe the children are placed in a Christian home. Hopefully at the right age of understanding, they'll come to follow Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And three is our work with our birth moms. This birth mom ministry that we're connected with, major dysfunctional. Major dysfunctional. I mean, the worst of the worst situations. These ladies have made some difficult decisions and they put themselves in bad situations and they call us and we have the opportunity to minister to them. But the worst of the worst. And so last year, I'll give you an example. We had 100 ladies that our folks met with, our social workers met with in North Carolina. 100 ladies that were pregnant. 30 of those ladies chose an adoption plan with Christian Adoption Services, which is amazing. 5 of those ladies gave their life to Christ. And so we consider it salt and light to go and minister to these ladies. Now, as much as I want to celebrate the 5, and that is a major victory, I wonder about the 95. And especially the ones who didn't place that we may never see again. But the opportunity for us to be salt and light and to plant seeds, right? We don't know what God's doing, but to plant seeds in these ladies' lives, Hopefully one day we'll see some of those ladies in heaven as a result of seeds that were planted through the opportunity we had to minister to these ladies in very difficult situations. Right now, let me give you a couple of real-time situations that y'all can pray about. Number one, we are working with a 13-year-old that's pregnant. Difficult. Yeah. So pray for us in that situation. I think she's about 20-some weeks pregnant, so there's a little ways to go there. But an opportunity to minister to her and her family. These are real-time situations, okay, that are difficult. Got a call this morning that we're dealing with a situation of a preemie that was born in Wilmington that called up. The parents said, we can't parent, and we need a plan. We need to place this child with a Christian family. Pray for that situation. That'll play out tomorrow, okay? Let me give you another situation, though, that, Lord, just to show you what we're up against, because prayer is important, but it doesn't stop with prayer. But last summer, so we do international and domestic adoptions, right? We do full service, all in, everything. And agency's been around for 39 years. So 2,000 children were placed in Christian homes during that time. So, and by the way, we've been in Matthews. I didn't even know this as a pastor in Charlotte. Been in Matthews since 1989. So the ministry's been right here, planted in this area, you know, for a long time now. And so last summer we were dealing with international situation. International can be complicated in a lot of different ways. We work with several different countries. And so this particular situation was a Philippine situation, a child who was 13 that was placed within a home in another state, pretty far away from here, like West Coast. And in Philippines, the adoptions don't finalize. Some of you may not know what all this means, but they don't finalize to like a year, meaning they're not permanent, right? They're not set by the law of the United States and the Philippines. And so they go receive the child, come back, and there's reports that take place. And then ultimately it goes to court, and it's finalized. And that's your child by the law. Well, this situation, and there's been some changes because of this situation and how we do ministry. But in this situation, because they're on the West Coast, they call us and say, yeah, we want to adopt from Philippines. We're like, great. They send us their testimony, blah, blah, blah. And we're like, okay. And then they have everything handled out there. They don't fly to us. They handle everything out there with another agency. There's a lot of trust in that, which can be tough, right? And so we never met this couple, but this couple apparently did adopt this 13-year-old little girl. Her name was Evelyn. She flew back here. She was with the family in the West Coast, getting ready to finalize. And then 2 weeks before finalization, I know there are children in the room, so I'm going to try to keep this at a high level. There were some things going on. Well, I'll just give you an example. They were at a coffee shop, and a stranger saw what was a disturbing conversation between the adoptive mom and Evelyn, who's 13, and saw, like, poking her with a pencil, like, at a coffee shop, which is kind of weird, and so she approached her about it, and she said, why are you doing that? And she said, yeah, this is the adoptive mom. Yeah, I paid $30,000 for her, and she's dumb. You know, just said that, which obviously this stranger was like, that is crazy. And so she noticed a few more things and took down her license plate and called the police. So police go out there, and police uncover some things, you know, just more physical abuse, not sexual abuse, but physical abuse. Like her ear was deformed when she had been pulled across the floor by her ear. I mean, just sad stuff. I'll leave it there. But there, and so police got involved. DSS came in, took custody of the child, Evelyn. And then we get involved, and it was a very stressful situation. They couldn't determine, because we technically still had custody until the Philippines released it for the finalization, so we were definitely involved. And so ultimately, they were flying people back and forth from California, and it was expensive. I mean, just on the whim, you know, making all this happen and dealing with the court and all that. But the summary of all that was this, the family was arrested, okay? They're in jail, and the mom and dad. And the child, so because it wasn't finalized, which ultimately was a big praise, it wasn't finalized, this came out, we had to fly her back here. Well, just because I'm a good guy, my wife and I are good people, we can't just bring Evelyn into our house, right? I mean, there's a lot of laws and stuff that goes with that. You can't place them in DSS either. And so we had to have a home for this child to be in. And so we had a little bit of time in between because of all the flying back and forth and figuring out custody and getting the child back. But the Lord raised up a family that said, we'll foster her until y'all, you know, find her home for her. And so I remember she came into our office the first time, just tiny, like 13, but tinier, seemed tinier than what 13-year-old would look like, and just sweet as she could be. I got to meet her. She was watching cartoons in our office, and then the family came. It was a local pastor in the Charlotte area. They were going through another program at the time, but they said, we'll take her. And so they took her, and so then that began the counseling. We were having to send counselors over there. I mean, it's just trauma stuff, you know? And so ultimately, though, so we had folks that had to fly to Philippines for just our year, every two-year trip. And I remember that Evelyn, the social worker who was counseling her, called me. Our folks were already on the plane going to Philippines just because it's just planned every 2 years to go to Philippines. And the social worker said, Evelyn wants to talk to you. And I'm like, okay. I said, let me talk to her. And so Evelyn gets on the phone and says, hey, Mr. Kevin. I said, hey, Evelyn, how are you? And she says, I understand that Miss Laura and Miss Jenica are on the way, are going to the Philippines. She says, I have a question. They're not going to take me back, are they? And I said, Evelyn, no. I said, they're already halfway there right now. She was fearful that she was going to be taken back to the orphanage. And that was just a big fear of hers. And she wanted reassurance that she wasn't going back. And I said, Evelyn, you're here, darling. God's got you taken care of. You're with a wonderful family. And so they just reassured her. I mean, it just broke my heart, you know, just talking to her in that situation. And so they go to the Philippines. They come back. And so ultimately, I fast forward the story. This all happened, you know, in the last 6 months. The family who was fostering her decided to adopt her. All right. So big praise there. And so she's still going through some things and we're still working with her. And I want to tell you, this is kind of the wrap of what she said. So we interact with her quite a bit. And so Laura, who had flown out there and got to know her well, who had flown to California a couple of different times back and forth and flew her back here, they were talking. And again, going through what she went through, she was talking about the family out there. And she told Laura, now she's 13, she told Laura this. She said, Laura, she said, Miss Laura, what they did wasn't right to me, but I forgive them. I was like, holy smoke, the child can preach, right? That is a message of hope and unconditional love and forgiveness. I mean, I'm mad at that family right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I can't believe you would do that. And yet the child who was there, who went through that for almost a year, said, I forgive them. Man, I was just blown away by that. And so I reflect back to how you can be involved. Prayer, there are so many different situations that our folks deal with that, again, I could just tell you more. I could spend the next 30 minutes telling you more, right? Just story after story after story. But we need God's people on the ground praying for this ministry that is standing on the truth of the gospel as we stand to share God's word. And I love what God's doing through this ministry, but we need your support in that way through prayer. Secondly, I believe there are folks that are sitting out in this church, all right? This is no pressure. This is the Holy Spirit of God. But God may be leading you to say, maybe we need to consider adoption. I don't know. Maybe. What do we need to do, you know? And so I'm a firm believer that if God calls, he'll take care of those things. I always tell couples, we meet with a lot of couples that are considering adoption. I always ask them to answer these four yeses. We need four yeses. Two questions, four yeses from the husband and wife. Number one, has God called you to adopt? I need two yeses there. And then is this God's timing for you to adopt? Sometimes it's God's call, but not the right time. So we need four yeses for people to move forward. I do believe there are people in the churches all across Charlotte, all across the state, South Carolina as well, that there's a fear factor when it comes to adoption. And so it's an obedience issue. And then three, so not only prayer, but possibly considering adoption, but three, supporting adoption. Volunteering, there's so many ways to volunteer. We have a banquet coming up in a couple of weeks. Justin can tell you about that. It's an opportunity for you to come celebrate adoption with us. It's a fundraiser at the end, but to support our ministry into what we're doing. There's so many ways to get involved in helping others adopt. You may say, well, you know what? I can't adopt. I'm too old to adopt or whatever, but you can help others adopt. There are others, and the more churches that we partner with, our goal is to bring the cost of adoption down. So that everybody can feel like they can adopt and it's not a financial issue. And so I just want to thank you in advance for your support of our ministry and your prayers for what God is doing through Christian Adoption Services. And you guys have a tremendous adoption culture here. But I pray God will continue to use you as you continue to grow and minister in the gospel of Christ, that you'll reach more people with the gospel of Christ. But connecting adoption with the gospel, man, it's a challenge to really understand that, and to leave here understanding what is my role into adoption. Again, as I said before, I don't believe every believer is called to adopt, but I believe every believer is called to embrace adoption in some way. My prayer for you is that you will figure that out, and what's your role in this big endeavor. It's a huge number, isn't it? 163 million. The church, God's people, are the answer. And may we walk hand in hand together in the future and celebrate all the victories and what God's going to do as these children who are brought back internationally, these children here in the Carolinas who are placed in Christian homes, one day will come forward and be baptized and say, I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. That's why we're here. And one day we're going to get to heaven and be able to celebrate all that God's doing. Why? Because He adopted you and He adopted me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the privilege of worship. And Father, studying this scripture and understanding very clearly what you tell us in Ephesians chapter 1, that as a Christ follower, we've been adopted by you. Thank you for loving us even when we sin, Father, and we disappoint you. But thank you for adopting us. And thank you for this wonderful church that stands for you, that stands upon your word. And Lord, that you'll continue to bless this church in the days to come. I thank you for their leadership. I thank you for Pastor Tyler. I thank you for all that are involved here. And Lord, they'll continue to stand upon you in all things as they live a life of faith. I thank you for the ministry of Christian Adoption Services. I thank you for the privilege of being a part of this wonderful ministry and standing up for children in need here, right here in the Carolinas and all around the world. I pray your continued protection and blessing upon this ministry. Lord, that we'll continue to carry on the legacy of 39 years, Father, that you have placed over 2,000 children in Christian homes, that we will stand together. And Father, we'll be able to celebrate many more children that are placed in Christian homes. And ultimately, these children will come to know you as Lord and Savior. Lord, thank you again for the blessings of life and eternal life to come. I thank you for this opportunity where we will be able to pause and reflect on the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, as we come to the table. Lord, help us to never forget the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus and the opportunity we have, Lord, to carry this message forward personally in our own lives, Lord, as we are a witness for you here and to be able to share with others the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us, Lord, and may you guide us and lead us in the days to come as we serve you faithfully one day at a time. Thank you again for this time. We continue to give you this service as we worship you. Lord, we ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.